welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back, and it is now or never that debt is fraud. We've got a lot of content to go through, and I'm trying to stack this entire year with relevant content so that moving forward, we'll be able to do a lot more, because I am optimistic that there will be folks like yourself that will actually realize what we have to do, why we have to do this, and you'll realize it's really not that much. If you start leading, it just gets, we got to get people committed. And if we don't, you don't have to give up your job. You don't have to give, what you're giving up is everything if you do nothing. You think you have a job. Down the road, when government finally gets to the point where they can serve themselves and they don't need you anymore, how important is it to, you know, to cook in that restaurant? How important is it to whatever skill you have? I mean, you better have, you know, a globally demanded skill that the globalists can actually use. And I'm just saying this because when they shut things down, when they actually close things down, because they've done this, we've actually seen businesses over a very short period of time, and they started, and government even played games. They said, well, we're going to allow these businesses to operate. And that was over a pandemic. But when they're finally emboldened, folks, you got to understand, history basically proves that when government is finally emboldened, they will kill you right out in the public square. That's happened with Pol Pot. That's happened, whether it is a direct knife to your throat or a gun, you know, a shot in the head in the killing fields, or whether it is no more farming and you're going to starve to death, as it's happened in China, it happened in Russia, and so forth. You won't eat, they will. And that's because they truly, everybody that listens to the show knows this is their paradigm. There are too many people on this earth. This is why they're convincing all of this useful idiots about climate change and all this other crap. So it is now or never. We need to continue to learn. This is why we're doing this content. I'll never ask you to take my word for it. I'll ask you to read these words along with us, realize that these are the words of the framers, the magnitude of what these men are saying, and the clarity of what we have to do based on what they've said. That's why we go through the ratification debates. This is why we're no longer going to point to, other than highlights, regarding the Federalist Papers, because Hamilton had two faces. Hamilton, when he was really trying to sell the Constitution in the early Federalist Papers, he kind of pushed on the reality or the truth of this limited and defined Constitution. And then in the very end, Hamilton deliberately planted, I'll just say, poisonous pills into the judiciary so that the judiciary could get away with doing what they're doing today. And most people, oh, well, at least we're getting, folks, they don't even have the authority to be ruling on the thing, almost all the things that they're ruling on. Does the matter that they're ruling on actually arise under the Constitution? Now, I know this anchor baby thing, does the Supreme Court, because this goes down the other path, because this is exactly what Hamilton did. A long time ago, a federal court judge decided that a baby born here and completely obviated the actual original definition of a natural born citizen and just decided to redefine it. And the fact is, folks, they don't have the authority to redefine. They don't have the authority to interpret. That was the poisonous pill. So we have to be very careful, and we have to actually look at whether, because when we look at the citizenship, right, and there's a case between a state and a foreign person, right, and their baby, how is that a federal court? Folks, I would ask you to read the 11th Amendment, because the jurisdiction of the federal court is not to be construed that it can intervene in between a case between a state and a foreign person. Go read the 11th Amendment. We start realizing that there were certain jurisdictions that were pulled back. This is the danger of what Roger Sherman requested and ended up getting, because Madison stated, if the language changes, it needs to be changed so that it is read properly the first time. And when you go down the path of keeping the original language and then forcing somebody to read the amendment itself as separately, one, you take the risk that they won't read the amendment and they'll just presume that they, you know, that's what they have. They have that jurisdiction, because who knows, the 11th Amendment even touches that. And then the other problem is, oh, well, what kind of intelligence does the person have to translate putting that language into that amendment, or that it even had an effect with that part of the Constitution? So, Hamilton deliberately poisoned us. Now, I've got content to get into, but let me just, again, our appeal to heaven, we must learn, pray, and act. The final obligatory that I want to get into is this concept of, well, I'll just say it, you know, when we look at what we are doing, I could go down this path of identifying all the different paths of what we need to do. Do we need to go to the court and plead to them to finally do the right thing? No, because we're not a judiciary form of government, and they're doing things that they absolutely have no authority to do. Same thing with the executive. Same thing with the party. Same thing with corporations, banks, and so forth. So when we really look at what is the path that we as citizens under this Constitution have a responsibility and a constitutionally protected right, we must interpose. It's not nullification. It is not a convention of states. It is not a court case. It is not an armed rebellion. We do not have to, you know, abolish or alter. All we have to do is demand compliance. When the Declaration of Independence, which is what we're going to dive into today, when we go through this, you have to understand that at that point in time, they didn't have a document that was so divine, giving only very specific powers. All we need to do is demand that our public servants exercise the limited powers given. And so one of the things I will just tell you is there's a possibility that I might have an interruption. And so I'm not going to play around, because this phone call that I need to have is very, very important, because this phone call is trying to ensure that the very first Constitution Compliance Assembly gets established. This is the fight, because this is supposedly a dark red county. This is the fight we have when we look at Republicans, we look at conservatives, and we actually hear a Republican, quasi what we think is a conservative, come out and say, you know what, if I have to choose between the Constitution and these laws that conflict with that, I'm going to support the law. Do you hear do you understand the ramifications of that statement? That person is legally bound by an oath to support the Constitution over all things, and they're turning their back on you, your liberty, and the rule of law, and our Republican form of government. They're going to abide by the judiciary, executive, and all these other forms of government instead of the actual government we're supposed to have. You need to understand this. This is why we have to demand full compliance. So, all that being said, we were also covering on Monday, we were going through the Western Lands Act, or the Western Lands Resolution, I believe. Yeah, it was resolved. And so we're kind of going through that and the establishment of the home. They call it the Home Department, but it wasn't really a full department like the State Department, the Treasury Department. the Home Department was just going to be an office, an agency that was needed for a temporary period of time for the admission of states into the Union. Now, had the concept been followed, I could see how this agency, this office, would still possibly be in operation today as more and more states around the world were preparing themselves to become a part of the Union. As long as there is a foreign state out there that has not become a part of the Union, I can't fathom why today we would really need it, because based on the spirit of the Constitution and the love and desire of every human being to be able to have the liberty to do and choose for themselves what they're going to eat, what they're going to do, what, you know, how they're going to work. And when we create a society that protects them, that enables their bad behavior, that actually does things that are contrary to the fundamental, I'll just say the fundamental needs of life, you know, such as survival, getting addicted to drugs, getting addicted to things that are so destructive that it kills you. We are not obligated to basically, intervene. What would happen is just like what happened in the framers' days. You know, there were times when debauchery, ran amok. And that is when venereal diseases and all sorts of problems plagued those societies and people died. Is it our government's responsibility to actually create cures for AIDS, to create cures for these STDs? No, it's not enumerated. The consequences are you've done that. Now, if somebody wants a private organization wants to fund that, then great. Then let the entrepreneurial spirit drive that. And let that happen in the open marketplace that we're supposed to have, this free market. But government being involved in those types of things is an abomination. It's an abomination because it is literally enabling bad behavior. And it is taking from you, the good, obedient citizens who are living a good, healthy life, and basically taking your money to basically enable these people to do more and more. As I have put this years and years ago in my first book, when government begins to enable sin, it is literally enabling the destruction of its society, its the nation itself. So let me dive into Thomas Jefferson's original rough draft of the Declaration of Independence, 11 June, and it says 11 June to 4 July, because it in the title, because this is what you will find on, I think it's Founders Online. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to stop and identify the green part. So when you read this, I'm going to put this up online. So when you read this and you see the yellow, everything that is yellow, and it's also, I think, italicized, yeah, it is. And so everything that is yellow has been removed. Everything that is green has been inserted so that you can kind of see what the final document looks like. This is everything that Jefferson put into the Declaration of Independence. And so what better day to do this than on the day we celebrate that document? The day we celebrate taking a stand for liberty. How apropos. Do you fathom the irony here, folks? We are living in a land of tyranny. Government is doing so many things. They're waging warfare against us. They're actually enabling destructive behavior. They're actually enabling economic warfare. They're actually doing things. I mean, from the state governments that are actually signing up with treaties like the Paris Accord, those types, those are direct violations of the Constitution. not to mention that the United States government has signed up with polities and treaties that are all equally unconstitutional, such as the UN, the World Health Organization, right, which is under that, but NATO, all of these alliances and basically creating partnerships and everything else, that is not granted to the federal government. Their job is to protect the sovereignty of this union, of the states. So the union protecting the sovereignty of the union and the individual states as well as the people. That's their job. This is why we don't pull the punches. Now, I will say this. You know, there are times when I'm going to have interviews, and so I am going to be interviewing somebody that actually talks about strategic initiatives or strategic importance. And so I think it's Peace Through Strength Foundation is the gentleman that's going to be coming on, and he's the founder of it. So this is an upcoming interview. And I just want you to be prepared because there are a lot of people that have these paradigms. Remember, reasonable people equally informed seldom disagree. And so when you actually start exposing, you know, the true elixir that would end these wars, that would actually save lives and actually protect our sovereignty, if we're using the Constitution, we would not be in, we would not have to fight a war again. We would actually begin the shutting down of the military-industrial complex. And the problems we would have is also basically transitioning the world and society from being a part of the entitlement state. Because, folks, America has been funding by giving money and giving food and all the assistance to the world, even though there's this there's this catch-22. The world is supposedly giving us money to basically do bad things. In other words, do things that the government doesn't have the authority to do. So those loans, this is why that debt is fraud. And so they're enabling us to continue spending and transferring our wealth to them. And ultimately today, they're allowing, as a part of this transfer, they're allowing foreign entities to unconstitutionally possess or buy assets within the United States. They don't have the authority to do that. The federal government cannot permit a foreign entity to own or control any asset within the United States, folks. So anyway, let me get into the Declaration of Independence. And so this, again, was submitted by Thomas Jefferson to the body of the whole. And actually, he, John Adams, and Benjamin Franklin were appointed into a committee. Now, let me just give you the full history here, because this is important. The Tory Acts, and prior to this declaration, the provincial government started actually being established. Before the Continental Congress, before the committees of correspondence started, you know, operating, the people in their counties, you, started standing up, started educating people what the rights were, what they needed to do, and they organized. They committed, they created what Continental Congress, as once it formed, referred to them as provincial governments. They were councils. They were assemblies. Some of them were committees of safety. Some of them were conventions. Whatever you want to call yourself, that's up to you. Continental Congress didn't say you have to use these terms, right? So just to be clear, these provincial governments actually had different names. Anybody that tells you it was this only, then they're being disingenuous, because the Tory Acts actually dispel that. They prove, and by naming these different names. Now, they may not have, you know, identified and had every name listed there, like political correctness, but the fact is, it was left to the people to decide what they wanted to call themselves. The concept of self-determination is in our blood. Anyway, a declaration by the representatives of the United States of America, and I think in the original language it was a little u, because at that point in time they were a confederation, not a full union, but the United States of America in Congress assembled, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume the powers of the earth and separate an equal station to which the nation, the laws of nature and nature's God entitled them a decent respect to the opinions of mankind, requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men were created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with inherent and these those two words, inherent and, were removed. Certain was injected, inalienable with an I was removed, and unalienable with a U was injected. So endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such a form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for the light and transient causes. Accordingly, all experiences hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than the right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, and these few words right here have been removed, began at a distinguished period, and so in other words, those words were removed from the usurpations began at a distinguished period, and instead of usurpations pursuing invariable the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism. It is their right, it is their duty to throw off such governments and to provide new guards for the future. It is their security. Now, I want to point out here, he's telling us that when we have a government and we know that they're doing something that they have no authority to do, they're exercising powers not granted, it is their right, it is your right, and it is your duty to throw off such governments. But we don't have to throw them off. See, this is where this actually changes under our Constitution. We have the right to enforce that Constitution and to provide new guards for their future security, i.e. maybe amending the Constitution by taking away certain powers, i.e. by actually, and actually this is where we talk about the idea of actually granting or changing the restriction on states so that the states can do more for themselves domestically together in creating these unions or these endeavors where they work together for a road system. Remember, the Constitution gave the federal government the responsibility of external security. All things domestic were to be left to the states. At this point in time, they couldn't fathom a road system, infrastructure, and those types of things that the states would really need to be productive. And instead of allowing the states to do what they needed to do, the federal government usurped those powers. So, anyway, such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to, Thomas Jefferson put expunged, they changed it to alter, them to expunge, alter, their former systems of government. The history of the present king of Britain is a history of unremitting, and actually, it's instead of unremitting, that changed to repeated injuries and usurpations, among which appears no solitary fact to contradict the uniform tenor of the rest, but all have, and instead of all having. So injuries and usurpations all having in direct objects the establishment of absolute tyranny over these states. We will be right back to finish up this paragraph and the rest of the Declaration right after this promo. Thank you so much.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so we're almost done with this paragraph, and it looks like possibly the first page. So out of the four pages, let's see if we, I think we'll get this done and be able to get back into the Home Department. Anyway, this last sentence in the paragraph, to provide this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. The rest was cut out. This was actually in the last of this paragraph. For the truth of which we pledge, a faith yet unsullied by falsehood. Then the rest of this on the page is all intact. He has refused, he's talking about the king, he has refused his assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. He has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained. And when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend to them. He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature, a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. He has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant from the depository of their public records for the sole purposes of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures. He has dissolved representative houses repeatedly, and then these two words were cut out, and continually. So instead of repeatedly and continually, it's just repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness his invasions on the rights of the people. In some ways, these edits were kind of apropos or, you know, reducing the emphasis or the repeating of with using different words of stating the same thing. So in some ways, these are kind of, you kind of understand, okay, that's not bad. We're going to get to the bad ones, though. He has refused for a long time after such dissolutions to cause others to be elected, whereby the legislative powers, incapable of annihilation, have returned to the people at large for their exercise, and state remaining in the meantime exposed to all the dangers of invasion from without and convulsions within. He has endeavored to prevent the population of these states, for that purpose obstructing the laws for naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass others to encourage their migrations hither, and raising the conditions of new appropriations of lands. He has suffered, that word suffered has been removed, he has obstructed the administration of justice, these words were removed, totally to cease in some of these states. So in other words, the administration of justice totally to cease in some of the states, and this is what was put in its place. The administration of justice by refusing his assent to laws for establishing judiciary powers. He has made our judges dependent on his will alone. Now, see, that's because the magistrate has that, and that this was the problem with the government I was telling you about. This is why when we broke away, we completely abandoned the magistrate doctrine. Folks, I know there's a lot of people that glorify this, but this is what happens when you actually have a magistrate doctrine, a true magistrate where all powers are centralized in a magistrate. We don't have that. At every level, from the county, state, and federal, we are to have three separate branches or three separate offices of government, where the sovereignty of our government is deposited or put into our legislative body. The executive and the judiciary are strictly administrative roles to support the legislative will of the people. Okay. Anyway, he has made it. Okay. So he has erected a multitude of new offices by, and these three words are four words, a self-assumed power, by a self-assumed power, those were cut out, by and sent, okay, yeah, it says, by and sent hither swarms of new officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. He has kept among us in times of peace standing armies and ships of war without the consent of our legislatures. He has affected, in other words, keeping guns pointed at their heads. He has affected to render the military independent of and superior to the civil power. He has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our constitutions and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their act of pretended legislation for quartering bodies. These are all these grievances. For quartering bodies of armed troops among us, for protecting them by a mock trial from punishment for any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states, for cutting off our trade with all parts of the world, for imposing taxes on us without our consent, for depriving us, in many cases, the benefits of a trial by jury. See, this is why the trial by jury and the voice of the people was sacred. These assemblies, these councils, these committees, this is how the people act as they start agreeing that these things are egregiously violating our rights. This is why your county committee, your assembly, whatever you call it, council, whatever you want to call it, it is paramount that you start creating these things. For transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses, for abolishing the free system of English laws in a neighboring province, establishing therein an arbitrary government and enlarging its boundaries as to render it at once an example and fit instrument for introducing the same absolute rule to these states. The states was changed to colonies. See, Jefferson was considering them states, not colonies. And that was, to me, I think, a bad political correctness change. For taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our government. For suspending our own legislatures and declaring themselves invested with power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever. He has abdicated government here, and then these words were changed or removed, withdrawing his governors and declaring us out of his allegiance and protection. These are the words that were put in. He has abdicated government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burnt our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. He has at this time transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, desolation, and tyranny already begun with circumstances of cruelty and perfidy, scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous ages and totally. Those words were added. Nothing was deleted. And perfidy scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous ages and totally unworthy the head of civilized nation. He has constrained our fellow citizens, taken captive on the high seas. He bear arms against their country and become the executioner of their friends and brethren, or to fall themselves by their hands. He has, and these words have been injected, he has excited domestic insurrections among us and has, so that was injected, he has endeavored, or he has excited domestic insurrections among us and has endeavored to bring on inhabitants of our frontiers, the merciless Indian savages, whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions of existence. In other words, he was talking about how they kill everybody. You got to remember that Britain, when they fought the Revolutionary Army, Britain stood in line. They didn't hide. They didn't play guerrilla warfare. They didn't go through. They were a civil army and a disciplined army. And so when you look at this, that as they referred to the Indians as savages, they hid, they came in, they didn't just kill the combatants, they killed everybody. They skinned their heads, you know, like the Romans would put a head, you know, on a pole outside the city. Very barbarous. And so this is, you know, that was a practice among the Indians. Anyway, let me see here. He has excited the warfare and extended conditions. Okay. Now, the rest of these words was what we'll call all removed. This next short paragraph and this long paragraph. He has incited treasonable insurrections of our fellow citizens with the allurements of forfeiture and confiscation of our property. He has waged cruel war against human nature itself. Remember, this was removed, violating its most sacred rights of life and liberty in the persons of a distant people who never offended him, captivating and carrying them into slavery in another hemisphere, or to incur miserable death in their transportation thither. The piratical warfare, the opprobrium of infidel powers, is the warfare of the Christian King of Great Britain, determined to keep open a market where men should be bought and sold. He has prostituted his negative for suppressing every legislative attempt to prohibit or restrain this execrable commerce. I'm sorry, but I too have difficulty in pronouncing some of these words. Execrable commerce, and that his assemblage of horrors might want no fact of distinguished dye. He is now exciting those very people to rise in arms against us and to purchase that liberty of which he has deprived them by murdering the people of whom he has also obtruded them, thus paying off former crimes committed against the liberties of one people with the crimes he urges them to commit against the lives of another. And this is not taken out. This is in here. There's part of this that's removed, but we'll get to that. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress, and in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injuries. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may be defined a tyrant is unfit to be a ruler of free, the word free was put in, of a free people, and the rest was deleted. Who mean to be free, future ages will scarcely believe that the hardiness of one man adventured within the short compass of 12 years only to lay foundation so broad and so undistinguished for tyranny over a people fostered and fixed in principles of freedom. I don't know why they cut that out. I don't know why they cut that paragraph about slavery out. Going back into this, most of this was cut out. This first part right here was retained. Nor have we been wanting in attention to our British brethren. We have warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over these, our states. I can't believe they left states in there, we have reminded them of the circumstances of our immigration and settlement here. The rest was removed. No one of these could warrant so strange a pretension that these were affected at the expense of our own blood and treasure, unassisted by the wealth or the strength of Great Britain, that in constituting indeed our several forms of government, we had adopted one common king, thereby laying a foundation of perpetual league and amity with them, but with the submission to their parliament was no part of our constitution, nor ever in idea of history may be created, and we have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity. And we have conjured them by, those words were injected. So all of that I just read was cut out, and then they injected, and we have conjured them by, and then these two, three words, as well as, that those were removed. So we have conjured them by, to the ties of our common kindred, to disavow these usurpations, which, and this was removed, were likely to, which was included, which would inevitably interrupt our connection and correspondence. They too have been deaf to the voice of justice and consanguinity. There we go. Now, the rest of this long part has been removed. And when occasions have been given them by the regular course of their laws and removing from their councils the disturbers of our harmony, they have by their free election reestablished them in power. At this very time, too, they are permitting their chief magistrate to send over not only soldiers of our common blood, but Scotch and foreign mercenaries to invade us and destroy us. These facts have given the last stab to the agonizing affection and manly spirit bids us to renounce forever these unfeeling brethren. We must endeavor to forget our former love for them and hold them as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace friends. We might have been a free and great people together, but a communication of grandeur, of freedom, it seems, is below their dignity. Be it so, since they will have it, the road to happiness and glory is open to us too. We will tread it apart from them. This was injected now. These words were injected. We must therefore, and then the rest was part of it, or included. We must therefore acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our eternal separation, and hold them as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace, friends. So they kind of just took some things out and they rearranged it. This is the last major paragraph. There's two paragraphs left. We therefore, the representatives of the little United States of America in General Congress, assembled, appealing to the judge of the world, God, our creator, for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the same name and by authority of the good people of these states, they took that out and they injected colonies, and the rest of these couple of lines were removed, reject and renounce all allegiance and subjection to the kings of Great Britain and all others who may hereafter claim by, through or under them, we utterly dissolve all political connection which may have heretofore have subsisted between us and the people of Parliament or Great Britain. And finally, we do assert and declare these colonies to be free and independent states. So that was all removed. The rest of this is either been injected or retained. Solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies, and this, I have a problem with that. Why do they keep on calling them colonies? Are and of right ought to be free and independent states. Why play that game? Anyway, that they are dissolved from allegiance to the British crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract allies, establish commerce, and do all other acts and things which independent states may or of right do. And the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Now, I do know that, you know, there's a lot here, and I do know that this is a mouthful, but I'm telling you, folks, when you look at what they chose to remove, that tainted history, because it clearly Thomas Jefferson was really putting the spotlight on where this division, this bigotry that was established through this mechanism of slavery. It wasn't the United States, the federal government, or any of the states on their own. All sorts of people came to America in the early 1600s as indentured servants so that they could obtain land and become a part of this free economic system that slowly became a mercantile system as it started becoming an economic powerhouse, where tobacco became a cash crop because it was demanded by Britain that so much tobacco was grown. The fact of the matter is, it wasn't until, I think, late 1600s, the late 17th century, where Britain, the king, I think in the 60s, 1660s, something like that, where the king actually declared that slavery in the North American colonies would be only to the blacks. In other words, no person would be a slave, but permanent slavery was established. Indentured service was only granted to everybody else but blacks. That came from the monarch. It didn't come from King George. I forget who it was, but it doesn't matter. The fact is that we have completely tainted our history by allowing the progressive revisionists make everybody think that the Constitution and these men that actually declared independence and tried to end slavery during the Constitutional Convention were a bunch of bigots and these, I'll just say, evil men. They weren't. As a matter of fact, those words, "all men were created equal," were literally the spirit of this, I'll just say, the people of these United States, other than those southern states that I constantly harangue, that they were the ones that wanted to maintain slavery. And that political compromise to protect the Union was, I think, one of the biggest strategic mistakes they made. And so as George Mason asserted, that God can't punish nations and states in this world. He will punish these states and this nation in heaven. He can't punish nations and states in heaven. He will punish this nation and states here in this world in our lifetime. But that actually was delayed because the Constitution and the compromises were put in were so brilliant that slavery was going to end, which is, we cover this all the time, so I'm not going to dive into the details. The reality is that when we look at the Declaration of Independence, when you hear other people read it today or through the weekend or what have you, I'm here to tell you that they're missing so much of the important history so that we can see how the revisionists have completely polluted the well in thinking that the United States was the bad actor. States may have been bad actors, and I've said this all the time. States have typically been the bad actors. But over time, once the federal government was able to basically corrupt the states, as it went down this path into the progressive era, that is when the United States, the government that has been basically revised by the progressive, this government that they now want to destroy, they use that to actually, you know, create this woke society, this political correctness. And the reality is that we have a limited and defined government that only has the authority to do very specific things. So let me revisit the importance of this. Standing up constitutional compliance committees, councils in your county are essential, because that is how the people will learn what powers the federal government really has. That's where the people will learn how these things like the Department of Transportation are being used to basically take our money, to tax us, and to deliver that money to those people in this nation, as because they use these things as boondoggles to pay the unions, to pay these evil entities. They hardly do anything. I mean, if you look at the trillions and trillions of dollars that have been spent on the infrastructure since Obama, since Bush, the trillions, I mean, folks, we're talking probably $15 trillion. Because I know Obama, it was $2 trillion. I know that with Biden, it was $2 trillion. And I think with Trump, and Obama actually think may have done a couple of different infrastructures, but I know Trump had done it as well, for at the tune of $2 trillion. So when we look at Bush after 9/11, there was a lot of money spent on infrastructure things, at least well over $10 trillion. Now let's look at that debt. Look at the debt clock. It's in the 30s. 10 of the trillion was just spent on just infrastructure, things that they don't have the authority to do. And those aren't idle words. We're going to cover these coming up. We're going to cover the presidential vetoes of the Department of Transportation, that those powers do not exist within that Constitution. So, fortunately, I didn't get the call but from Mr. Taylor. But Mr. Taylor is one that I believe will be integral in help supporting and getting involved in these constitutional compliance committees. The very first one in the nation is to be formed in the next, hopefully, this year. It's taken us 6 months so far since, actually, it's taken us 8-9 months almost since November last year to even get to the point where bylaws have been created, because this is all being done on volunteer time, folks. Nobody's getting paid to do this. See, there's no money in saving the Constitution. The reward is your liberty and your life. So if you think you got to do something, and everybody, what's in it for me? If you have that attitude, then you probably aren't even appealed to even listening and learning. So that's why I say most people on this show, listening to this show, understand that we have to do something. The question is, what is it going to take to get you committed to actually doing something? I mean, I'm dealing with people that all, I get lip service all the time. Oh, yeah, we got to do this. Yeah, we got to do this. And yet they are not a part of committed, or they're not a part of the committed body in actually doing these things. Folks, it's time. It is time to take a stand. Let this day be your resolve. The 4th of July, 2025, let this day be your resolve to take a stand against tyranny. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.